From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Tuesday, February 18th, and here are today's headlines. Winooski voters will once again see a so-called just cause eviction measure on their ballot this town meeting day. The tenant protection would prevent a landlord from evicting someone for no reason. 2 years ago, Winooski voters approved the measure by a nearly 3-to-1 margin. But a technical error has prompted the city to put the item up for a revote, according to City Clerk Jenny Willingham.
That's why it was recommended that we just put this on the ballot again.
If voters approve it again, the measure would still have a long way to go. So far, no locally passed just cause measures have gotten the necessary sign-off from both the state legislature and the governor. The Vermont Supreme Court has dismissed a lawsuit opposing Governor Phil Scott's appointment of an interim education secretary. The court ruled the case is moot since Zoe Saunders is no longer interim secretary. That's according to reporting by VT Digger. Lawmakers had voted down Saunders the first time Scott tapped her for the permanent post in March. Two Democratic lawmakers filed suit, arguing Scott overstepped his power by having Saunders move back into an interim role after lawmakers rejected her. Then Scott again appointed Saunders to the permanent position in November when the legislature was out of session. The University of Vermont has received a coveted status for schools engaged in scientific research. For the first time in years, UVM has once again joined the list of R1 or Research 1 institutions as determined by the American Council on Education. The designation will help the university recruit faculty and attract top students. That's according to Professor Kirk Dombrowski, UVM's Vice President for Research.
It's the first thing we're asked, just about faculty recruitment, interviews and things. One of the first things you're always asked is, are you an R1 university? And so that's a big deal.
The change comes after the university nearly doubled its spending on research in the past decade. There are 187 R1 schools nationwide. The incoming interim police chief in Vermont's largest city is set to serve for 2 years, and that includes staying on as an advisor once the permanent chief is hired. The city of Burlington announced last week that Sean Burke, the top cop in South Burlington, would take over the department next month. Burke spent the majority of his career in the Queen City before becoming South Burlington's police chief in 2018. Burlington Mayor Emma Mulvaney-Stanek said at a press conference last week that she hopes to hire a new permanent chief by the end of the year, and she said Burke will stick around to help with the transition.
There'll just be a lot of newness in the department, and so I want to make sure that the department has all that they need to feel, the rank and file in particular, feel supported over the next 2 years.
According to the city, Burke will make $172,000 per year as interim chief. And coming up, ice, wind, sleet, snow, and freezing rain. There's nothing unusual about these kinds of conditions during a Vermont winter, except that it's been a while since the state has actually experienced a stretch of such classic seasonal storms. We discuss this latest one with Fairbanks Museum senior meteorologist Mark Breen after this. This past weekend, Northwest Vermont saw the most snowfall it has seen since March of 2023. A winter storm stretched across the region, dumping more than 14 inches of fresh snow in some towns through Northwest Vermont, from Greensboro west through Franklin County and the North Country of New York. Lesser amounts fell in towns across southern and central Vermont. The storm included a wintry mix of ice and freezing rain, in addition to steady snowfall in many locations. And I spoke about all this on Monday with Eye on the Sky senior meteorologist Mark Breen from the Fairbanks Museum and Planetarium in St. Johnsbury, who helped put this storm into perspective.
We've had a few storms that contain some very wet snow. This is a very dry snow, and that actually good news in terms of how much snow is on the trees and the power lines, because obviously with winds expected to gust over 50 miles per hour, it's going to put quite a strain on the utility systems in general, so we've got that to be concerned with. We did have probably, I went back, it was January of 2019 that we had a storm of this nature through northwest Vermont and northern New York with the heavy snowfall, anywhere from 10 to 20 inches, but also some cold temperatures, so it was relatively dry snow. So during the middle of the storm, there was some sleet and some freezing rain that mixed in, and it doesn't take much more than just a thin layer of it. So it wasn't a heavy amount of ice. That's certainly good news. But because the temperatures were below freezing. You had snow falling on top of that, just making for this kind of a very thin layer of a kind of a mix of some snow and ice, and some of the roads are going to be tough to clean off because we've got cold temperatures, and so the salt and the sand is not as effective at these cold temperatures.
Mark, I'm going to ask you to look ahead a little bit here, because if we continue to get a lot more snow and ice this winter, I'm wondering if we should be concerned as we approach spring about an increased chance for flood problems, especially given the changes to the landscape that we've seen from recent flooding over the past couple of years. Most of that happened in the spring and summer months, but do you have any concern about that? If that snowpack starts to melt off later this spring, are we going to see an increased chance of flooding?
Well, we actually do have above average snowpack, especially across the high elevations. And so you're right, Mitch. We've got this water that's basically sitting there waiting to be released. And so the issue will be how quickly and to what nature it's released. In other words, if it's mild and we see it slowly melt, then it'll ease into the rivers. But if we get a sudden warm-up with some heavy rains, two things. Not only will that water go into the rivers, but it's been a relatively cold stretch, and so many of the rivers are ice-covered, so ice jams will be a concern as well.
Mark, are you surprised about where we are right now, mid-February? I mean, this seems perfectly normal for those of us who have been in Vermont for a long time, and certainly you have. This is the way winters usually go, but again, over those last three or four, it's been so mild, this seems a little bit surprising, I think.
Yes, and there's no question. It doesn't take very long to get used to having things, kind of easy. You don't have to do so much shoveling. The wood pile lasts a little bit longer, that type of thing. But I will say that this has been one of the longer stretches, and you'd really have to go back maybe at least 4 or 5 years to find consistently cold and snowy weather. And so it's been a pretty wintry stretch for the past 3 weeks.
I'll tell you, Mark, it's good to have your forecast with us and to be able to speak with you about these events. It just puts it into perspective a little bit, and I think makes us feel a little bit better. Again, thank you so much for everything that you've done, keeping us updated on this. That was Senior Meteorologist and Planetarium Director Mark Breen from the Fairbanks Museum and Planetarium in St. Johnsbury. Mark, thank you so much for the time this morning.
Thank you, Mitch.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Carly Berlin, Adia Golston, Lexi Krupp, and Leah Melder Connors. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. I'll talk to you soon.